Then Turin took up a drinking vessel and cast it in Cyrus's face, and he fell backward with great hurt. And Turin drew his sword and would have run at him, but Mablung restrained him. Then Cyrus, rising, spat blood upon the board and spoke as best he could with a broken mouth.
How long shall we harbour this wood woes? Who rules here tonight? The king's law is heavy upon those who hurt his lieges in the hall, and for those who draw blades there, outlawry is the least doom. Outside the hall I could answer you, wood woes.
But when Turin saw the blood upon the table, his mood became cold, and with a shrug he released himself from Mablung and left the hall without a word. Then Mablung said to Cyrus, "What ails you tonight? For this evil I hold you to blame, and maybe the king's law will judge a broken mouth a just return for your taunting. If the cub has a grievance, let him bring it to the king's judgment," answered Cyrus. "But the drawing of swords here is not to be excused for any such cause. Outside the hall, if the wood woes draws on me, I shall kill him."
"It might well go otherwise," said Mablung. "But if either be slain, it will be an evil deed, more fit for Angband than Doriath, and more evil will come of it. Indeed, I feel that some shadow of the north has reached out to touch us tonight. Take heed, Cyrus, lest you do the will of Morgoth in your pride. And remember that you are of the Eldar."
"I do not forget it," said Cyrus,
but he did not abate his wrath. And through the night his malice grew, nursing his injury. In the morning he waylaid Turin as he set off early from Menegroth, intending to go back to the marches. Turin had gone only a little way when Cyrus ran out upon him from behind with drawn sword and shield on arm. But Turin, trained in the wild to wariness, saw him from the corner of his eye, and leaping aside, he drew swiftly and turned upon his foe.
"Morwen," he cried, "now your mucker shall pay for his scorn."
And he clove Cyrus's shield, and then they fought together with swift blades. But Turin had been long in a hard school, and had grown as agile as any elf, but stronger. He soon had the mastery, and wounding Cyrus's sword arm, he had him at his mercy. Then he set his foot on the sword that Cyrus had let fall.
"Cyrus," he said, "there is a long race before you, and clothes will be a hindrance. Hair must suffice." And suddenly throwing him to the ground, he stripped him, and Cyrus felt Turin's great strength and was afraid. But Turin let him up, and then, "Run, run, mocker of women," he cried. "Run, and unless you go swift as the deer, I shall prick you on from behind."
Then he set the point of the sword in Cyrus's buttock, and he fled into the wood, crying wildly for help in his terror. But Turin came after him like a hound, and however he ran or swerved, still the sword was behind him to egg him on.